chapter 9 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and begin reading in verse 14. It says, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, of course, Paul was speaking to the Corinthians concerning the matter of his being an apostle and pointing out to them that as evidently there was some talk among them to criticize him in his apostleship and as to whether or not he had the full credentials of an apostle. And he was saying, you know, "In no thing did I come behind any of the apostles in declaring to you the Word of God." He said, in fact, he said, "You as a people, as a church here in Corinth, owe your existence to the work that the Lord did through me." He says, "I'm your father in the gospel in that way. You heard it first from me." And so he says, "Let there be no doubt about the fact that we have the right to come to you if we so desired and say, you need to pay us some money to help us go along our way here." He said, we do have that right. But he said, we don't use it. He says, I wouldn't use it. He says, I would never do that. Because he said, my glorying, the place of my glorying, is that I might come to you without such a mindset. That I might come to you preaching the gospel of Christ freely. So that you don't feel any sort of obligation in that way unto me, even though he says, but you ought to. He said, as far as you're concerned, you ought to have an obligation. But he said, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have one. He says, I don't have any concern for it. He says, I don't want anybody to make my glorying void, because my glorying is this, that I might glory in preaching the gospel without charge. And he said, this is my reward. He said, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. He said, if I preach the gospel without charge, then He said, that is my reward. He says, if I come to you giving you a charge and saying, well, you got to pay me a certain amount of money, then my glorying would be taken away. He said, I wouldn't have anything to rejoice in because I would feel like a hired servant. And I would not have a right mind about this thing. So he says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. I don't want anything to hinder the ministry that the Lord's given me. Now, let me back up there to 17 and go over that again, because this is kind of the way that this is written. It has caused some to question what it is that he's saying. He says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, a dispensation of the gospel is simply, it's not talking about, as some would say, a time period, but it's talking about a dispensing. He said, the Lord laid the gospel upon my heart. And he said, the dispensing of the gospel is laid upon me, whether I do it willingly or whether I do it without being willing. It doesn't make any difference. He says, I want to do it willingly, but he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I can't help it. I have to do it. He said, it wouldn't make a difference what happens. That's what the Lord has called me to do, and I would do it. So whether I do it willingly or whether I do it unwillingly, it's still the same thing. The dispensation, the dispensing of the gospel is given unto me. But he says, I will not abuse my power, that I might be all things to all men. Now, did he mean by that, when he says this, that I might make myself servant unto all, that he would be just wishy-washy, and whatever a man liked to hear, he would tell him? No, that's not what he's saying at all. Paul had one message, and it was Jesus Christ and him crucified. But he would not offend people knowingly in order to tell them that. Now, he knows good and well that telling of a man preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, he would know that that would be offensive in itself. You can't avoid offense in the preaching of the gospel. But what you can avoid offense in, is what he's saying here, is in how you come to people. Now, for instance, if you came into the midst of a people that they all believe that you should wear a certain kind of clothes. Now, say for instance that you were coming among some people that they believed you ought to dress up in fine clothes when you come together. And you decided, well, I'll just show up in a pair of cut-off shorts and some flip-flops. That wouldn't be a very good way to get off on a good foot with them, would it? I mean, the first thing they would do is they wouldn't reject you for the message you preached, would they? They'd reject you just because of the way you acted and the disregard that you had unto them. So Paul says, I am not caught up, he said, in this custom or that custom. It doesn't matter to me how people are, and he says, I will not offend them in their custom in order that I might preach to them the truth of Jesus Christ. So he says here, to the Jews, I became as a Jew. When he was among the Jews, he didn't spit upon their customs. He didn't berate them for assembling on the Sabbath day, for instance. What did he do? He assembled on the Sabbath day with them. And he was mindful of their customs. But that didn't change what he preached to them. You know, in other words, the message that he preached was the same. But he was mindful of their customs. To them that are without law, he says, to them that are under the law is under the law. that I might gain them that are under the law. I mean, he didn't ride into town. Remember whenever he was going up to Jerusalem and he took a vow. And he was fitting right in with the concept that the Jews, he took the vow of the Nazarite and he came among them. Now, if Paul had have come among them, you know, just with these people not knowing anything about the gospel, and he came among them trying to offend them in their customs, how could he have ever come among them? They wouldn't have allowed him to. So he was wise, as the Lord said, as wise as serpents, harmless as doves. He meant them no harm. He meant them good. And so he came among them in that way. To them that are without law is without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. He said, to the Gentiles, I didn't come with a copy of the Ten Commandments in my hand and try beating them over the head with that. He says, I came to them as though without law, not without law to God. In other words, not that he said he came to them and preached to them that they should be adulterers or thieves or anything of that sort, but rather he didn't come with the customs of the laws that the Jews had to the Gentiles. He didn't lay upon them those burdens. But he says, I came to them as that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, does he mean by that, that he thinks that he can save men? Now, there are some who think that men have the power to save other men. We don't have the power to do it. And Paul's not talking about salvation here in that respect, but rather he's speaking about deliverance. He says that I might deliver them. Now, what's he going to deliver them from? He's going to deliver the Jews from the law, and he's going to deliver the Gentiles from not having the law. I mean, that's what he's saying. He says, I want to deliver them from whatever custom they might have to Christ. He said, that's my goal, is to preach Christ among men. Whatever perspective somebody's coming from. He says, I'm not trying to promote the Jewish custom. I'm not trying to promote the Gentile custom. He says, I'm coming preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in whatever means I have to come to men in order to preach that gospel, he said, I'll do it. I won't let anything be a hindrance. And most certainly not coming making a charge for the gospel's sake. He says, I'm going to do this. I've got one goal in mind. Remember what he said at the beginning of the book? He says, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, Christianity is without customs. What are the customs of Christianity? Huh? Now, men make up customs, don't they? I mean, you know, different denominations and things like that, they come up with different churches, they'll come up with customs. Well, this is our custom. Well, the custom in itself's not bad, but brethren, we need to understand this, that the true gospel of Jesus Christ is without customs. It doesn't stand on customs. There are no customary things, or there are no things that are acceptable. There's only one thing that's acceptable. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it doesn't make any difference what other custom a man may have that's not to be bound on men. It's not to become a requirement. If somebody comes and they have a custom, it's not a hindrance. You see, the gospel of Christ is not hindered by the things of men. Because the gospel of Christ is pure. Now, you take a man like John Newton, writer of the hymn, Amazing Grace. Now, John Newton was from the beginning to the end of his life was an ordained Anglican minister. Now that's about as close to being a Roman Catholic as you can get without being a Roman Catholic. And yet you'll find very few people in their writings and their things they have left behind for us that had any clearer understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified than John Newton. Now some have criticized Newton and said, well, if he was really a follower of Christ, he'd have thrown off all that and come out of it. Well, for whatever reason, he never did. Now I'll tell you this about John Newton. He never let that get in his way of preaching the gospel of Christ. He preached the truth. And he was what he was. So there are no customs that are acceptable, although men will try to make them so. You know, they'll tell you, well, there's a certain right way that you can sing. There's a certain way that you can't sing. And all of those type things. Those are customs of men. They're just things that are preferences that men have. They're not in themselves wrong. But what is wrong is anything that would compromise or turn us away from the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so there's nothing that it makes something right or wrong in and of itself insofar as customary things are concerned, except that our goal is to follow those things that the Lord has simply and clearly laid out for us in His Word. And if we find example of it in His Word, then we ought to follow that, I believe. You know, we need to follow as closely to the Word of God as we possibly can. But at the same time, we need to know and understand for sure that Christianity has but one custom, and it is the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. No requirements. You know, you're not required to do any other one thing other than worship Christ as the Lord of glory. And he said, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He says, I want to partake of this with you. I want you to partake of the same things I'm partaking of. He says, I want us all to eat from the same trough, as it were. That we all would enjoy this together. Now, you know, dogs very seldom can eat from the same dish. I mean, I've seen a few that do, but usually, you know, one dog, he wants to be sure that the other dog doesn't get in there because he's thinking, well, he's going to get more of it than me. But cats, a lot of times they'll eat right out of the same dish together. Now, I don't know what the significance of that is, but God's people ought to be eating out of the same dish, don't you think? I mean, you know, there's only one dish that we're going to eat out of, and it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what we want to eat out of, and not all these other things. Know ye not, he said, that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Now here's what he's saying. He's saying we're going to liken the Christian life to a race, and there's not but one person that can win this race. Now, what did he just say there? He said that I might be partaker thereof with you. He said, I want us to share in this. So there's an aspect in which we run the Christian race, encouraging one another to come along. And if somebody stumbles, we pick them up and help them, because we want to all get to the finish line. But he says, having said that, there's only one that can win the prize. And he said, that's the mindset that we need to have when we have consideration of what it is that we desire insofar as Christ is concerned. He says, run that ye might win. We're not running so that we might all get a trophy.
we run with this in mind. I've got to win. That's the mindset that we have. That's what Paul said. That's how he said, I preach the gospel. He said, I didn't preach the gospel for this or for that. He said, I preach the gospel for one thing. One reason. The glory of God. The calling of God. The high calling of God. That's the thing that I'm striving unto. I'm pressing to the mark. I'm running. And he said, only one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. This is an important thing. Don't sit around waiting for somebody else. You know, if sometimes you can't get somebody to go with you. You just got to do what you got to do. I mean, you got to run for the prize that's set before you, regardless of who goes with you or who stays behind. Over, so run that you may obtain. And every man, he said, that striveth for the mastery or the championship, that's what the mastery is, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. I mean, if a man is, one of the things I've read about Tom Brady, now he has his own, a lot of critics of his, you know, some people like him and some people don't, but he is a phenomenal football player, quarterback, athlete, and one of the things, it's very seldom that a man of his age is still able to perform at the level that he does and has been as injury free, although he's had a few injuries, throughout his career. But one of the things that I think probably attributes to that, of course we know it's all the gift of God, but insofar as men are concerned, and in this illustration that we're having here, is that he is a temperate man. He eats proper kinds of food. He doesn't overindulge in alcohol and other things that people sometimes do. You know, a lot of these athletes, they burn themselves out. Because they're intemperate in the things. You know, they have the money to buy whatever they want, and a lot of times they do. But he says, Paul says, if a man's going to really be a champion, then he's got to be temperate in all things. And so what he is, this comes right on the heel now. Remember what he said. He said, all things are lawful to me. But he says, I will not be brought under the power of any. You see, we're not condemned in the Christian life. All things are, that there are in the world, there's nothing under condemnation to us, but all the things that we see in this world are not beneficial to us. They're not helpful to us. They don't bring glory to God. And so he says, if a man would be a champion, he can't just be thinking, well, I can just do anything I want. That's not the mindset that he can have, that he is going to have. Now, if he just wants to show up, then that's the mindset he'd have. But see, he says, let us run that we might win this prize. And he said, if we're going to run and win the prize, if we're going to be the champion that we're called to be, then we have to be temperate in all things. We have to be mindful of what it is that we've been called to be. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, he said. They do it just for a trophy. They do it so they can get in the Hall of Fame or whatever. But he said, we're not interested in that. We don't care if men ever recognize one thing that we've ever done. We're not doing this so men can see us. We're not doing this in that way for the benefit of mankind, but we're doing it for the glory of God, because we want to obtain an incorruptible crown. He says, I therefore so run. Now he's speaking about himself. And he's speaking about what goes on in his mind as he is making this run. Because you see, we can tell one another what we ought to do. But I can't really tell you what you ought to do. I can tell you what the Scripture says, but I can't always tell you what you ought to do. But I can tell you what I'm going to do. See, it's just like with your kids. Now, you would like to be able to tell them what to do at every stage of their life, but you can't. You can't. Because there comes a point in time when they are going to do whatever they're going to do. And so you can't tell them. I mean, you can tell them what they ought to do, but they're not going to listen to you. They're going to think you're just some nutcase. But what you can do is you can show them what you're going to do. So you can't do a thing about what they're going to do. But by the grace of God, you can do what you're going to do. And that's what Paul's saying here. He said, I'm telling you. He says, we need to run the race to gain the prize. And he says, He said, this is me. He said, I'm not boasting. He just said, I'm just telling you the way that it is. He says, I therefore so run. What's he talking about? Running. He says, I'm running just like I'm telling you to win the prize. He says, I don't care what's going on over here, what's going on over there. Don't care what people are saying. Don't care whatever. He says, I'm going to run to win the prize by the grace of God. Therefore, so run, not as uncertainly. I'm not wondering where the finish line is. He says, I know where the finish line is. And he says, I'm running to that point. Now, you know, a man would never win a race if he started off and he ran, and part of the time he was looking over there, and part of the time he was looking there, and sometimes he turned around and looked behind to see who was coming. Would he ever win? No, he wouldn't ever win. So he says, I'm running the race with my eyes on the prize. He says, I'm running, therefore, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He says, I'm not just fighting an imaginary foe. Now, you know, when boxers are training, they shed a box. I mean, they have in their mind who it is they're fighting. Paul says, I'm not shed a boxing. He says, I'm not wondering who my opponent is. See, no man ever won a championship shadow boxing. He had to actually get in the ring and fight somebody that could hit back. And that's what he said. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. He says, I'm not fighting an imaginary opponent. Now listen to who it is he says he's fighting. He says, I'm not fighting the guy next door. He said, I fight not as one that beateth the air. I'm not fighting an imaginary opponent. Now he's fixing to tell you who his opponent is. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection. Because you see, I'm my own worst enemy. And I can tell you what to do. You know, it's sort of like losing weight. Now, you can write a book and tell people how to lose weight. I can tell you a way to lose weight. Just don't eat. Just don't eat and you'll lose weight. But what good is that? It's no good at all. You know, especially, what good is it for me to tell you what to do if I don't do the same thing or if I don't do what is necessary? And that's what Paul's saying here. He says, I'm not just telling you what you ought to do in some theoretical fashion. You know, that's a fashionable thing to come up with a diet book. I mean, there's new ones come out every day and everybody says, oh, we're going to do this one. And you know, there's never a diet that's come forth that won't work. What's the problem with diets? Huh? People don't stick to it. I mean, that's what the problem with a diet is. I mean, of course I can't say that blanketly because some people do. But whenever we get, speaking about this thing about a diet, whenever we get on the scales, and we weigh more than we did yesterday, when we look in the mirror to see who it is that caused that problem, who was it? Huh? I mean, didn't nobody hold us down and pour the food in, did they? No, we did it. Okay? So what he's saying here is, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, he's not specifically talking about every fleshly problem that he has here specifically, but he is talking about it in a very pointed way. He says, I keep under my body, I recognize who my opponent is. Because if you don't have regard to your opponent, you're going to be beaten every time. So you need to know that as you run this race for an incorruptible crown, there is one that fights against you every day of the year. And if you don't recognize who he is and quit worrying about shadow boxing and deal with the problem that you've got, which is you, then that crown will not be yours. Now, we know that the Lord is going to deliver his people. He is going to do that, but the means through which he's going to deliver them in great measure is by the work that he performs in them, as the Spirit of God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so it's not that we think we have the power to do these things, because we do not. But we do know the one who does have the power. And knowing the one that has the power, we know the place, or we know who the enemy is. So first off, we must identify the enemy. And then listen to what he says. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That is, I should become disqualified. I should not be one that is disqualified in the eyes of men. You know, set up as... and this is what he said to start with about the about preaching without charge. He said, I don't want to be considered a castaway. So someone would say, well, he's just preaching for the money. No, he says, I don't want that. And he says, I don't want to be to wind up as a one who is overcome in my flesh so that someone would say, well, he's just a castaway. He's not worth even listening to because of the fact that he told others what to do, that he didn't do that himself. May the Lord help us and cause us to be mindful of our enemy and the place wherein our struggle is directed, to be directed. I can't straighten you out. I'd like to. You know, every one of you in here, I know exactly what's wrong with you. And I can tell everybody in here what to do. But you know, all that doesn't make a difference at all, does it? Because every one of us have to deal with us. And by the grace of God, we shall, according to his working in us, by the power that he is pleased to give us.